Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Well, good morning to you, and a happy month of August. Seems like the summer is just passing away right before our very eyes. It seems also that the older that we get, the quicker that time moves. I know that's statistically impossible, but it sure does seem that way. When I listen to religiously oriented programs, whether it be on the radio or television, one of the predominant themes of those programs is miracles. Miracles that are suggested by the presenter as taking place even today. I'd like to share some Bible insight with you concerning miracles and answer the question, are there modern-day miracles? And I'm not talking about the way that we use the word miracle, because in our culture, oftentimes we use that word just to talk about something that's outstanding or out of the normal, or even something that we don't understand. We talk about the miracle of birth, and we talk about the miracle of a certain athletic team rising from the depths of losing to even a championship. I'm not talking about miracles such as that. We'll define miracles as we get into our study. We're talking about a different kind of a miracle. I'd like to begin our study concerning miracles by looking at Jesus and his use of miracles in the New Testament. I call your attention to the book of John, and in that book, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. If you have your Bible with you, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. There we read, "And many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Therein we see, don't we, the reason that Jesus performed miracles, that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That text proves three things. First of all, it proves that Jesus indeed performed miracles. He did miracles, we might say. Second, we see that those miracles were not done privately or secretly. They were witnessed by many people. And third, that the miracles proved his sonship. They proved that Jesus was the Son of God. In our lesson, I'd like to break it down a little bit and talk first of all about miracles and their definition as we're using in this study. Secondly, the characteristic of the miracles that Jesus performed. And third, the use and the termination of those miracles. The New Testament describes miracles as mighty works. It describes them as wonders and signs. I call your attention to two passages of Scripture. First, in Acts the second chapter and verse 22, there the Bible reads, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." Secondly, I refer you to Hebrews the second chapter and verse 4. There the Bible reads, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. A mighty work, as used in the Bible, requires power to produce the work. You cannot do a mighty work without the power that's requisite to perform that deed. Wonders, as used in our text, is the effect on those that are witnessing the event. It's sort of like marveling, like they marveled in Matthew the 8th chapter and verse 27, when the lame were, where the sea was calmed, and in Matthew 9 and verse 33, where the demons were cast out. Astonished is a good synonym for wonders. It's like in Luke 9 and verse 43, and the depossessing of demons there. The people that saw those were amazed, like they were in Mark 2 and verse 12, where the person who had been paralyzed since birth was healed. The signs that the Bible talks about is the significance of the miracles. The workers of the miracles are of God, these signs prove. Miracles are not just remarkable things. All miracles are remarkable, but not all remarkable things are miracles. Our bodies being healed through modern technology is remarkable, but it's not miraculous. Birth is remarkable, but it is not miraculous in the way that we're using the word miracles in our study today. Those are accomplished by natural laws set in force by God at the very creation of the earth. Miracles are not the intervention of God through his providential care. Certainly, we believe that God still has his hands in the affairs of man, and that God's providence leads man, and we might not be able to understand or even identify every time that God's providence is active, but we certainly believe in that. God's care for his own is manifest in Romans 8 and verse 28. There the Apostle Paul wrote, and we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. That care, that good, is accomplished through natural laws, not miracles. So then, a miracle, or a mighty work, or a wonder, or a sign, as talked about in the Bible, is God's intervention in a way which cannot be accomplished by natural law. It is beyond nature. Let me illustrate. God's providence helps us with our daily bread, Matthew 6 and verse 11. But he fed the 5,000 with the fishes and the loaves miraculously. That's recorded in John the 6th chapter, the first 14 verses. Also, another illustration. God helps us find safety in perilous times. We learned that from a study of Romans the 8th chapter. But Matthew the 8th chapter, verse 26, where he calmed the sea, was a miracle. Another illustration. God helps us see us through surgery and ill health. But in John the 9th chapter, verse 1 through 7, he instantly healed the blind. Well, there you've got one that could be described as the providence of God and the other as a miracle. Another illustration. God prevents death through natural law. We know oftentimes where we've seen illustrations of that. But in Luke the 7th chapter, verses 11 through 17, God raised the dead. That's miraculous. That is not his providence. Now let's take a look at the characteristics. Let's break down. Let's analyze the characteristics of the miracles that Jesus performed. First of all, we know that there were many different kinds of miracles. He healed sickness and disease, Matthew the 9th chapter, verse 35. He walked on water, Matthew 14, verse 29. He cast out demons, Matthew 8, verse 16. He fed the 4,000 and again the 5,000 in Matthew 15, verse 32 beginning, and also in Matthew the 14th chapter, verse 15 through 21. He raised the dead. Lazarus, even after 4 days being dead, was raised by Jesus, John 11, verse 39 through 44. John said, "But there also are many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." John 21, verse 25. So there were various kinds, or many different kinds, or categories, types of miracles that Jesus performed. We see that taught then clearly in the Scriptures. We also see taught clearly in the Scriptures that these miracles were before many witnesses. In Canaan, at the marriage feast, there were many witnesses when Jesus changed water into wine, John 2, verse 1 through 11. The paralytic had to be let down from the roof because the crowd around Jesus was so great, Mark 2, verse 1 through 12. Certainly the 4,000 and then the 5,000 fed were before many witnesses. Well, another characteristic of the miracles of Jesus was that the before and the after were witnessed. The blind man that was that way from birth in John the 9th chapter was known to be blind before his contact with Jesus and was known to be healed after his contact. The lame man that was lame for 38 years was known to be lame before and also after the healing powers of Jesus was applied to his lameness. John 5, verse 5 through 9. Lazarus, there were people at the tomb that saw that Lazarus was dead and participated in the burial process. They saw Lazarus alive, John the 11th chapter. So both the before and the after of the miracle were witnessed by many people in the miracles that Jesus did. Another characteristic of the miracles of Jesus was that they were attempted to be discredited by his enemies, especially as that taught in the 9th chapter of the book of John, where the man was born blind. He was brought to and questioned by the Pharisees in verse 14 of that chapter. They said, "How can you see?" Verse 15, he said, "He put clay on my eyes. He washed, and I see." And then they used the Sabbath day charge to discredit. Another said, "How can a sinner do such signs?" It's a person that would do work on the Sabbath day. And then they questioned his parents. So they questioned the parents of the blind man as to how this could have happened. And they were told he was blind from birth, thus verifying the miraculous nature of what Jesus did. I want you to listen now to the healed man according to John the 9th chapter beginning in verse 29. "We know that God spoke to Moses, as for this fellow we do not know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, 'Why is this marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes? And now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.'" Well, pretty clear statement with regard to the relationship of Jesus to God and how these miracles are done. Another characteristic of the miracles of Jesus is that they had instantaneous effects. I was listening to a radio program just the other day where a person was saying that if you come to this particular healing service and you receive the Holy Spirit and you're healed, don't be surprised if it doesn't take effect for quite a time, even a year later. You just have to Be sure that you maintain that healing power of the Spirit and let it do its healing in its own time. Well, with regard to the miracles that Jesus performed, they had instantaneous effect. The blind man saw at once. The lame man walked immediately. In fact, he jumped and walked. The multitudes were fed immediately. So the effects of the miracles of Jesus, those kinds of miracles that we're trying to determine whether or not they still occur today, those effects did not have to wait a long time for them to take effect. They were instantaneous. Another characteristic of the miracles that Jesus did was that they were complete. The water was wine. It didn't take a process to make it wine. He changed it to wine. The multitudes were completely fed. In fact, there was a lot left over that they had to pick up. The physical infirmities were completely healed. It was not just a process. It was not like going through therapy to regain some kind of strength. It was complete in itself. Another characteristic of the miracles of Jesus is that they cannot be duplicated. If they can, why not raise the dead today? Why not heal the deaf and the blind and the lame? If one has power, prove it by demonstration, not by debate. Don't affirm, do it. I remember that I was preaching in Birmingham, Alabama one time, and from the rear of the building, a person shouted out that his preacher at the church where he went had the power to raise the dead. Well, one of our members was a doctor and one of the leading cardiologists in the state of Alabama, and he responded to this man in the next service that we had, so as to give them plenty of time, if he would bring his preacher that had the power to raise the dead, that this doctor would provide a cadaver upon which that miracle could be performed. Well, I suggest to you that we never saw nor did we hear from that person again. Let me ask you a question. If it takes faith in order for these miracles to take place, what faith did Lazarus have? Lazarus was dead. How can you have faith when you're dead? John gives the purpose of the listing of Jesus' miracles. Talks about the use of the miracles that Christ performed. John the 20th chapter, verse 31, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in his name." Jesus had come to the earth, was during his personal ministry, and most of the people that were in the area where Jesus was did not believe that he was anything special. So these miracles were the way to show these people that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's the use of his miracles, to establish his identity as the Son of God. Well, another use of the miracles of Jesus was to establish Jesus as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one that the people among whom he walked were looking for and had been for hundreds of years. In Acts, the second chapter, in verse 26, the Bible says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ." That was the effect on the 5,000, John 6 and verse 14. Also we read, "When therefore the people saw the sign which he did, they said, this is of a truth the prophet that cometh into the world." They didn't just say a prophet, they talked about him being the prophet. They looked at these miracles as proof that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the one that they had been promised, that they had been looking for so long. Jesus' miracles came to fulfill prophecy. In Matthew, the first chapter, in verse 23, the Bible says, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us." Well, then when Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son In Luke, the 7th chapter, we read this, "And the fear took hold on all, and they glorified God, saying, A great prophet is risen among us, and God hath visited his people." Another in the use of the miracles was that miracles showed Jesus was from God, John 3 and verse 2, the story of Nicodemus. "Rabbi," we read, "we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that thou doest except God be with him." Another use of the miracles was that they showed that Jesus was approved by God. Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves know." For the purpose of our lesson, I'd like for you to just highlight, at least in your mind, the words "by mighty works and wonders and signs." Let's look at that verse again. "Ye men of Israel," that's to whom Peter is addressing these comments, "hear these words." In other words, this is important for you to hear. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves know." That shows that Jesus was approved by God. But also, Jesus used miracles to uphold his authority. To claim authority is one thing, but to have authority is something completely different, isn't it? Jesus showed his authority for the things that he taught by casting out unclean spirits from a man in the synagogue. Mark, the 1st chapter, beginning in verse 21, is an account of that. There the Bible reads, "Then they went to Capernaum, and immediately upon the Sabbath day he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And then they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? What new doctrine is this? With what authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." So Jesus used miracles to show his authority. He showed authority for his practices with his miracles. If you have your Bible handy, turn to Luke, the 13th chapter, and let's look at verse 10 beginning. "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Well, she was bent over, and in could no ways rise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, Woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, There are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore, and come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord answered and said, Hypocrite, does not each one of you teach it on the Sabbath day you can loose your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being born a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he said these things, his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him." Well, the demonstration then were to show his authority for his teachings. Mark 1, verse 21 beginning, and the miracles were used to show his authority for his practices. They were also to demonstrate authority to forgive sins. That's the story found in Mark, the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 5. Well, that's all of our time for today, but Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll begin right there, that the use of miracles by Jesus were to uphold his authority. And we'll review for just a moment that his authority for his teachings was upheld, and that his authority for his practices were upheld. And then we'll begin our new study next week by reading Mark the 2nd chapter, verse 5, and going through verse 12. I'm glad that you tuned in, and I hope that you have a wonderful day. Let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.